I don't even want to talk about it. Yeah. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the RUScreening.com podcast. I'm your host, RUScreening.com's own Mark Eastman. And with me, as always, is co-host extraordinaire and Harry Potter fan,
yeah,
Shane Leonard.
Hello. That's awesome.
That's the news of the day, obviously.
It is.
Harry,
it is.
Harry
yeah,
Potter.
Happy Cursed Child Day for everybody.
Everyone, yeah, that's why the show's later today, because we knew that everybody
we
would be sleeping in.
Yeah.
Right?
Because, we had a hard time scrubbing the Voldemort makeup off you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that nose thing, man.
Yeah, that's a trick.
You don't know how irritating that is.
Great finds. He was full of crap. That was simple.
That's right. This week, Jason Bourne,
yeah,
which is going to be a fantastic show.
oh my god,
that's just all you need to know about
right.
that. This week, you know, the news.
I gotta write down your review. I know your number already too.
The news this week is once again a tricky area. It's such a weird time of year that you know, the news is still. All the trailers that came out of Comic-Con and stuff
that.
Still. And that's just pretty much all anyone wants to talk about.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, announcements of characters and things like that, but it's
right.
just, it's all Comic-Con and there's nothing to say about anything in the news really, because
yeah.
everyone's already, you know, talked it to death
right.
because it's just whatever happened. There are, same as last week, there's plenty of awesome trailers.
Did you see a bunch of them, or did you just know?
Yeah, I saw.
Like,
I saw.
I think I checked
the Wonder Woman trailer is very cool, but also a little odd. It's all.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Wonder Woman. It's weird how things get played with the comic book movie theories that are coming out. You know, like
yeah.
when the Avengers movies come out. Even long before the first one came out, you were just watching trailers and everything.
Right.
It's a very specific angle they're looking at, right?
Right.
It's super actiony and all this stuff. And Captain America movies kind of got like wrapped up into that. Like they're the same movie, really.
Right.
The Avengers is just Captain America 3 or, you know, whatever it is. They feel very similar. And to a certain extent, obviously Iron Man too, you know, when they come together, they're aiming at the exact same people. And you would think that the comic book movies are all aiming at the exact
right.
same people, but they're aiming at being the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Then you get stuff coming out like Doctor Strange.
Right.
And that clearly is a little bit different, right? That's a different angle, hopefully, because
right.
it's a very different thing. It needs to be a different thing. And Wonder Woman, even though the trailer was pretty good, and I'm actually really looking forward to that movie because I want to know exactly what they're going to do with it, right? And you've got kind of on the other side of things, obviously, you've got like Batman and Superman and then Wonder Woman. And the Wonder Woman trailer, even though I like the trailer and it looks fun and everything, it looked a little unsure of itself, kind of in an odd way. It's a trailer that... you know, I don't know. It felt like watching the trailer for like the Agent Carter show. You know, it's a movie trailer that is like, do you like this?
Right.
you
right.
know, it didn't feel like the Avengers. Here
yeah.
we are. You know, it wasn't like Wonder Woman go or whatever. It was just
right.
like, so we're going to, it's going to be about
we're
going to
do this. And
it
look like that. Yeah.
And it was just kind of like, I don't know. It was like shy. It was
yeah.
like a shy trailer or something. But,
right.
anyway, but there's, you know, just tons of trailers coming out. And then, you know, the weird thing about Comic-Con, the more Comic-Con goes on, the more the stuff that comes out of it is a little weird because it's like so far away. A lot of it,
yeah.
you know, they come out with, they're like, oh, the big trailer. And it's like, you know, 3 or 4 years, you'll get to see this movie, but here's the trailer.
Right.
And
yeah.
you're like, what?
I remember always feeling that way. You know, it's okay. So it's, you know, you'll see something and it'll say coming December,
right.
2019. And you're like, what?
Right. right.
Especially when
you go to a theater, and it'll say like coming in December
yeah.
first, and it'll pause
right.
for like a second, and it'll go 2019.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's like too long. Forget it. No way. I'm
yeah.
never. And then you're like, all right, can't.
Yeah.
Can't
anyway. So, but other than that, you know, like I said, there was, you know, Captain Marvel movie, and there's been a bunch of announcements about people being in things, yeah, and some things where you don't know everyone that's in it, but you knew some people were in it. Now we know more people who are in it, and all, you know, right, on and on like that. But that's kind of the news.
I can't believe we didn't. Yeah, I actually had someone ask me, why didn't you guys talk about Gary Marshall passing
away?
Oh,
right.
You know,
because
that happened. That would have been news last week.
Right.
But, you know, the show's been a little staggered just a little bit for scheduling stuff. But, I mean, whoops. You know,
right,
it slipped through us. But I think you, much like I, as a kid watching TV in a world of only three channels.
Right.
You know, that meant something. That guy was everywhere.
He was
throughout our childhood.
And
he had fingerprints
a lot of the
stuff.
Biggest things too.
Right.
And
that doesn't even talk about his movie career, which is substantial. But
it's kind of weird because he was in such a specific place, and I feel like over the last 10 or 15 years, trying to translate that place,
yeah,
into something that people would still watch,
right,
was really kind of like a challenge at times, and
yeah,
and often things that made a lot of money,
right,
especially if you know get you're Gary Marshall, so you can get like Tom Hanks to be in whatever,
pick up the phone, yeah,
and you can do anything, and like these, you know, these last movies that he's done with the Holidays and stuff,
right,
are, you know, feel so much like him.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like him.
Yeah.
Still, they are so oddly like watching Happy Days.
Right.
Only if Happy Days were now and it was a movie.
Right. Yeah.
And he's got that same, like, just kind of oddly trapped in Happy Days. Really
thing.
Like
right.
Trapped in like 50s,
yeah,
like trying to be super wholesome and everything,
yeah,
like that. And you got like Laverne and Shirley are like at the time edgy.
Yeah, remember?
And you're like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back and watch it now, you're thinking this is kind
all,
of edgy.
Right. But
I mean, it was weird,
yeah,
at the time though. It
right.
was different. So I don't know.
We didn't omit anything about him for lack of respect. We were busy doing things.
We had other stuff to
yeah.
not talk about, I guess, at the time.
And he's not of those guys. I remember, you always hear Eddie Murphy died on a skiing accident.
Right.
You know, all
right,
these things.
Right.
It wasn't one of these things where, and you see on Facebook all the time, someone will say something like, oh my God. And they'll take some. Did you know when it turned out the person died like a decade ago? No idea. I'm like, well, then you really didn't know or care, but it wasn't so unimportant. It just went under the radar. Like, oh, I thought he'd been dead for, you know, years.
Right,
it
right.
wasn't even like that. It was just a busy time.
It was, yeah, like I said, it's weird news. You know, sometimes as horrible as this is in the industry anyway,
right.
you know, if you die at the wrong time.
Yeah, nobody knows.
There's
or, you know, you do, and not to get really off base, but it's funny you even say that because I was just talking recently about how much of a bummer Farrah Fawcett got because she died like 3 hours before Michael Jackson.
Right.
And for like a 90-minute span, it was like, oh, we'll put the poster up and we'll talk
right,
about,
right.
oh, wait. And then she was never heard from, not that she
no,
should
no,
be heard
right,
from again,
right.
but that was it. And I was just like, man, that's got to suck.
Yeah.
You didn't even get like a full running time.
Right.
Like you're gone.
And yeah, it's Comic-Con. You know,
right.
you don't want
to. How many Comic-Cons have you been to? I forget. I know I've asked you
Me?
This before. Yeah. Have you been to
I haven't
any?
Been to Comic-Con.
It's great, but you.
I've been to a lot of film
Southwest
festivals,
stuff, so you
and
know,
stuff,
and
yeah.
it's not terribly different. I mean,
right.
it's just not as geeky. But man, Comic-Con is something. I feel like anybody who likes
it's almost outrageous at this point.
It
though.
Is. It,
it's almost.
Much.
It's almost not worth going.
Yeah.
The weird thing is,
it's amazing.
Not that anyone wants to hear us babble about going to festivals, but
yeah.
The weird thing is, like, Comic-Con is just it's just so far, and it's weird because I'll go to South by Southwest,
right?
And it's like, how is that any farther, really?
Yeah.
It's like you're still on the plane, and it doesn't make any difference. But
yeah.
The weird thing about Comic-Con for me is I get invited to Comic-Con every year,
right.
Just like everything else. But Comic-Con is like, unless I have somebody willing to just be my connection,
right,
it's not worth going.
Right.
I mean, I could get into everything, yeah, but I want to get into everything,
right,
or else I'm not going.
Right.
It's pointless. And Comic-Con's too big at this point.
It is.
It's
you
just,
get people that they show up on Friday, the gate opens and people jump into Studio H for a show Sunday.
Right.
Like they're like, we're not going anywhere. And I'm like, I can't do that.
Right.
And I can't hire anybody to sit long enough to do that. So what am I going to do? But
yeah, anyway. I said, the news is actually starting to be the Olympics now.
We're not going to talk.
Switching gears.
Yeah, we don't do politics.
No,
politics is obviously the big news, no matter what convention you're watching over the last 2 weeks. But in terms of anything, I guess it is entertaining.
And it's starting to get to be new fall TV even, which also crazy to think about. But anyway, go ahead. What?
Do you see Stranger Things? Because that's the TV experience that's blowing up everywhere. People are finally starting
to
binge
seen,
it.
I've seen much of it. I haven't seen all of it.
It's 8 episodes. What do you think? You're halfway through? Did you only start it? Or
I think I've seen 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell because I just have it on and then
it just auto-plays.
And then it just goes. I like it.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things where it's like, it's just crazy enough to work. And I could see why everyone likes it. Right. It's the right kind of crazy. And the odd thing is that there are a lot of people who really like the show because the show is obviously doing really well.
Yeah.
Critics love it. People love it. Everyone thinks it's awesome. But the thing that's throwing me on that is that people really like that show. And then they will talk about other shows that they really like. And I hate those shows.
like
American Horror Story. Like people are saying they really like Stranger Things.
When somebody says,
and then they talk about American Horror Story. And I hate American Horror
Story. When somebody says they like American Horror Story, to me, before I wipe them from the earth, you know, in my mind, I always say, well, which one?
Right.
Because I genuinely think
I kind of like the first one.
See?
And the second one's okay. The second one was still getting a little too much, but it's okay. But after that,
if you say they're all amazing, then I think you're just one of those people. If you're really like, oh, I really love 3 and 4, and I'm like, did you see 1 and 2? And they're like, hated it. I'm like, I got it. I know who you are.
Right.
But anyway, I know what you mean.
And now you can stop talking.
I know what you mean. When you say things like, you know, if you're like, I really love these things, I get it. So
right. The problem for me with Stranger Things, and I do like it. And not only that, the weird thing for me is that I really like the kids in it.
Yeah.
And kids are tough for me.
I
don't give kids any slack when they're acting, right?
Right.
If you're in some serious thing and you're making something that, you know, if you're making something that's like comedy or like a sitcom or whatever, then fine.
Yeah.
But if you're making something that's supposed to be serious and you can't find the kid to do it, then don't do it.
Right.
Or something,
you
right?
You things too much.
And,
yeah.
And the kids are really good in it.
Yeah.
I like the kids in it. The problem for me with Stranger Things is that I was watching it with my wife. And like the second episode, I was like, oh, I know everything that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I'm right because I haven't seen it all, right? But I'm pretty sure that I'm right. And it's, it's like watching movies. It's like I've done this long enough that I can watch a movie for 15 minutes. And if you're M. Night and you have a trick up your sleeve,
right,
it better be really good because I'm going to know what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, I've seen too many movies.
When you're done with it, we don't really review TV too much, but it'd be
interesting. Yeah, but that's okay. We can talk.
That would be an interesting one when you get through with it. I finished it and it was.
Is it still good now that it's over or is it like Lost?
Yeah, it's
and
good.
At the end,
I was trying to think of something like that. It's not Lost for me. It's fun in all the right ways that it works. And if it were, you know, everybody's used to seeing those Venn diagrams where they overlap in the center. The center would be Stranger Things. And it's almost like the best part of the whole thing for me is that there's so many things going on, not just because it's a nostalgic trip for all the stuff that you and I grew up with. And it's with all kinds of interesting things to pay homage to stuff without being heavy handed. But it's really fun, movies, books, video games, you know, and to see all these things sprinkled in. It was amusing to think that they're going to let that kind of fan service get away from them. And yet they were still telling an original feeling story. Like right. their narrative is right. constantly moving forward instead
and,
of just sitting around.
You know, I will say this too. Like I said, I haven't seen that much of it. But what I like about it so far is that when something really crazy happens in it, because obviously, you know, if you haven't seen it, really crazy stuff happens.
Yeah.
And even within the first three episodes, right?
Yeah.
That people react to it in a way that seems legitimate. Yeah. You know, they don't react to it in like a horror movie, you know, kind of corny, goofy way or, you know, whatever
this
might be, depending on what it is, obviously, right? Or, you know, if like a UFO lands next to somebody, they don't go, oh, look, a UFO. Whatever.
Right.
I mean, you know, well, it's like people actually react in a way that you go, I could see that being your reaction.
The very quick fun thing for me, the overlapping kind of Venn diagram, is that the kids themselves are almost existing within like a Stephen King book, and their adventures and what happens throughout the eight episodes,
and like a old Steven Spielberg movie.
I feel like the kids are in a Stephen King story. This is all one story. The kids are in like a Stephen King-ish story. The adults are in a Steven Spielberg movie. Like their concerns and their point of view is almost entirely 80s Spielberg.
Right.
And the teenagers in the film are almost exclusively in a perspective of either like a John Carpenter or a Wes Craven film. And every once in a while, those all, when they're all in the same scene, they overlap, and that's Stranger Things.
Right.
But when they're off doing their own things to try to figure out where this kid is and what's going on with their town, they're all living in these very distinct narratives that pay a great homage to what they're doing, but it's also very creative on their own.
But
I don't know, very creative. It's very successful in driving its own narrative. But there is a definite feel to each one that's happening, and it's just fun.
Right.
It's just fun to watch.
Right.
And there are some liberties that they take. Like it's certainly very 80s, just from the theme music to the you know, the very aesthetic of it. Obviously, that's when it's set with the clothes and the games and things. There's some 80s things that get resolved too. Like if you've seen films or TV in the 80s and you're like, this guy needs that information, and he's only going to get it by punching a couple people and then they'll give it up. Like that's what happened. So that's what happens.
Right.
And
right.
I'm still okay with it. I don't care because it stays true to itself. So,
all right. So we've clearly babbled on far too long about stuff like that. So Jason Bourne, and you know, I guess we should sort of say in the interest of fair play, right?
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of all the previous movies that Matt Damon was in.
I remember the Jeremy Renner one. I didn't hate it. Right.
But
I thought we were pretty average.
But I was like, all right.
It's
fine,
just got the name on
whatever.
It. That's all they did. So.
But I've watched them all again.
Do you watch them all?
Yeah.
Do you watch
I watched them
Ultimatum
all now.
Too? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched Ultimatum last night.
Yeah.
So that doesn't count as having pre-knowledge of going into this movie. But I watched the first two like a week or two weeks ago or something like that. And it's actually a little bit of a weird experience to go back and watch them all and see, especially put an Ultimatum on top of it to see how closely this one, even though it seems different, how much it like really is kind of shoved right in the same mold.
Yeah.
Of when this happens at this point, now we need this to happen.
Yep.
This is when the car chase happens, you know, the whole thing. Anyway, so to put that out there, that we like the other ones because, you know, that will inform
and that'll
your
also,
decision
right.
on right. what you like.
Yeah.
So anyway, throwing out the ratings really quickly, this one was a very strange for me. At the beginning of it, I liked it pretty well.
Yeah.
I had bigger hopes after like 15 minutes.
Yep.
And I had pretty big hopes going in, but by the time the movie was over, I was so rock solidly at 7.
Yeah.
That was just it. I didn't even really need to like think about it anymore. I would think about it some more and go, no, 7.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just,
wow, I was off.
It did not have the same, I guess, kind of driving force to it throughout the movie that would like lift it up higher than that.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of things I didn't like about it. And there were some things, especially the closer you get to the end of the movie, there were a lot of things that I didn't like about it that were like in direct contrast to the things that I liked about the earlier ones.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So that really kind of hurt it at the end. But I mean, it was a good time. It was certainly a lot better time than I've had for a while at the movies.
Right. Holy crap. Yeah.
Especially considering the last few weeks we've had, you know, I saw a commercial the other day for like the Blu-ray release of Warcraft.
Yeah.
And I went, man, you know, that wasn't that
bad. Missing that day.
Yeah.
That was a surprisingly fun film. So,
I was like, my God, after the last few weeks we've had,
right.
I thought, you know, I may have to go back to Warcraft and raise my rating like
funny.
One or something.
I hadn't rewatched the second Bourne film. I haven't seen the Jeremy Renner film.
I still think I'll just throw this out too. I still think the second one's the best.
Is the best of them. I've actually, when you said that to me the other day, I thought about rewatching it anyway. Though I feel like in my mind I can remember almost every single thing that happens in it. I mean, I know for sure I remember the first like half hour anyway, because that's when all the setting the plot into motion.
She gets
shot, you know, the bridge stuff.
The second one has the rolled up magazine fight in
which
it,
I think
too.
Is amazing. That's awesome. I haven't seen the first one in a little bit, the second one in a long time. And I've only watched the third Jeremy Renner one that one time we did it.
Right.
I never.
That's the fourth one.
The fourth one. Right. The Ultimatum, which I didn't think I'd ever seen, I watched Thursday night. And I think maybe that was a mistake. I think I probably shouldn't have done that.
That's interesting.
That really affected how I felt about this one in a lot of ways. I thought this was below average. I was at 4.5.
Wow.
Because I had just seen Ultimatum, and when I was watching Jason Bourne, I wasn't necessarily bored, but I was never engaged consecutively. There's a part when they're trying to meet in London, and all the different agents are moving in, and Alicia Vikander's character, Heather Lee or whatever, she's running in.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of tension there. And I thought for about a half hour with maybe 10 minutes on either end of that scene, that was the best part of the film for me.
Yeah.
Like I felt like that was really when it was all working.
That was really when it was, there were a lot of parts to this movie where
maybe that was about halfway through. I don't,
there were a lot of parts in this movie where to me, it was really just like, it felt like you have a TV show that got renewed and you went, oh shit, we have to write some more shit
right.
And throw out some stories. And it's like, we're just making a Jason Bourne, we're just making a Bourne movie to a Bourne movie.
Right.
And the story of it is kind of like, I don't know, he's mad at the CIA for something.
Right.
And
well, once
so
again, there
we're,
he comes out of hiding because looking for him, or they think he's look, or they're framing to look for him. You know, it felt very derivative of its own stuff. And when another franchise comes along or another film comes along, and you're like, ah, that felt a little bit like GoldenEye or Bourne or whatever.
Right.
I cut it a little bit of slack because sometimes you, in a genre, you can't help but be derivative of what works. But when you're derivative of your own stuff,
right?
And specifically for me,
especially like with Bond movies, and you know now this, it's like, you know, at some point it's a spy movie and it's going to have spy stuff,
right?
So you can't really call too much foul just on the fact that there are spies and going.
Sure.
But there's this other spy movie or else you just can't have a genre.
That you can never have
with,
a spy
right?
Film,
yeah.
But for me, I think watching Ultimatum, the Bourne Ultimatum so recently, and then watching this film basically do everything that the Bourne Ultimatum did in some respects and in some transparent respects, except for the big hook here was we're going to drop his dad into the story.
Right.
And that's just not enough. I had to suggest that I was disappointed implies that I was looking forward to or excited. We'd said this for weeks. I was curious. I wanted to know why he came back, why Greengrass was involved. Like,
right.
And to me, that almost gave it not a stamp of approval, but it certainly, you know, put me in a theater seat because I was like, they'll only get involved if it's a
great story.
Right. You would think. And instead what they did was they got involved seemingly to tell what is very sparsely a small footnote in what the story we've already had told
us.
If they had snuck in I say this like it's the easiest thing in the world to do, but if I sat down with the Bourne Ultimatum and then I put Jason Bourne next to it and I just took the few minutes of fatherly material, like when we see him in the cafe and stuff and
right.
need a little motivation. And then later he's looking through a few files because he wants to know about his dad. If you drop that into the Bourne Ultimatum, you make the movie maybe 6 minutes longer, but you still have Jason Bourne.
But you still get the whole thing.
And the
yeah.
only thing now, instead of just railing on it for a few things, I will say, you know, it was kind of fun. I give
The parts that are fun.
Yeah.
The parts that are fun were a lot of fun. The problem with that for me is I think so. While we were watching the movie, at a certain point, my wife texted me while we were watching it.
Right.
And it was just before the car chase starts.
Right.
And I'm like, well, it's about over, whatever.
Sure.
Anyway, but it just like marked that time that
right.
she did that. And it happened to be just before the car chase starts. And everything after that point is crap. Absolute garbage. I hated everything that happened after that point.
I liked one aspect of what they've always seemingly done, and you referred to it like a bit. We talked about it more, but you just referred to it when you were talking about it's got the magazine fight, you know, the
right.
rolled up magazine fight. The end of that car chase is unlike any other car chase in the last many years on film, because it's what I think would probably really happen if you had two cars
because
into each
because
other.
It's psychotic.
Right.
It's completely
right.
crazy.
It's
yeah.
not like this car flips over seven times because it's got to, because that'll look great. And then
right.
it lands on its feet and you climb out the window like Bo do, you know, no, actually when he hits the casino and he flies off and I'm like, wow, that's actually probably pretty real. Like,
right,
I'm sure
right.
that's exactly what they did. But when they go into the sewers for the escape fight, I was absolutely disengaged.
Yeah.
I just thought this
that,
is patently so
that,
easy.
That fight was so horrible for me because
yeah.
it's exactly the
yeah.
opposite of what I like about the Bourne movies.
I agree. Exactly.
What I liked, one of the things that I really like about all of those movies is that they have realistic fight scenes.
Yeah.
Right. People don't get hit in the head a couple times with a frying pan, you know, and like keep going.
Right.
I mean, once you actually get like a serious shot on someone, they're done.
Right.
And if the fight does go on for a little while, like the magazine fight,
right,
right,
which is great,
it's because,
yeah.
You know, they're both really good, but
right.
one of them's got like his hand tied together,
right.
part of it,
yeah.
but he has the knife. So it's like, you know, they're dodging around and,
yeah.
and they're not just pummeling each other
right.
or like really kicking the crap out of each other and
right.
hurting everybody,
right.
each other, because once that happens, then it's over.
Yeah.
And you have these fights where it's not a lot of managing to get the contact really well, and they have good fight scenes, right?
Yeah.
And in this movie, even just within itself, right, there is no way that Jason Bourne, the character we're given in this movie,
mm-hmm.
fights with that guy for more than 10 seconds.
Right.
Because I don't care who
yeah.
says he's an assassin or whatever, he'd be a good shot and
yeah.
he's an assassin
right.
or whatever. But he's like a scrawny dude
yeah.
compared to Jason Bourne,
right.
who was just in like Fight Club in where Morocco or
whatever,
wherever
yeah.
the hell it was.
The Tunisian Fight Club.
With the gigantic dudes.
Right.
And in the one, he levels the guy in one shot.
Right.
And in the other one, this giant guy is pounding the crap out of him and he's
right.
letting it happen. And then as soon as he sees the girl, he's
yeah.
like, okay, now I have to end this.
Right, right.
The guy who is,
smokes everything
is
yeah.
in the fight with this guy at the end
yeah.
for like 5 seconds.
Right.
And that's it.
Right.
And that fight went on longer than almost any fight in the whole series ever
yeah.
happened.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was like all of a sudden we've decided we're going to go corny with that happens. And even the car chase that leads up to it,
right,
the car chase on itself, it is kind of a cool car chase, but it doesn't really make any sense
no.
in anything that happens, you know. Even just, you know, once the guy that you're after steals a SWAT truck,
right,
you like follow him pretty leisurely,
right.
Where's he going?
Right. No expediency
needed. You don't floor it and try to ram him off the street.
Right.
You just be behind him and go, there it is.
And I got to tell you, if I'm in a SWAT truck and you're following me in some Dodge, I'm just going to back up. I'll put an end to that quick.
The whole,
you know,
the whole thing is like
it's a bonkers. It's a vehicle, no pun intended.
Thing.
It's a vehicle just to show we got a permit to shoot in Vegas and we can show the authenticity
and we're
gonna
run with
of
it.
Running with
yeah.
it, and we're going to mess up all kinds of stuff. Because if it ever happens really on the streets, this is what it'll look like.
Right.
You know, there's there's a bunch of little things throughout the course of the film that are fun. It's a 2-hour movie. It's 2 hours and 3 minutes, you know, knock off the credits.
It's,
you know,
it's easily 20, 30 minutes too long. Though.
Easily.
And,
well,
and the weird thing about it too, like you were saying about the story with the father, yeah, is that there are clearly two different movies happening.
Right.
And one of them has to do with him finding out about his father.
Yeah.
And the other one is this whole thing with the new CIA woman and what her relationship to bringing him Bourne is or isn't going to be. And there was a lot of dragging stuff out in this movie that, you know, like I said, was exactly the opposite of all the other movies. And, you know, even with Tommy Lee Jones as the big bad guy, you know, every movie has to have a new bad guy who goes, just kill him.
Right.
And it's like, you know, have you seen the other movies? Have you read the files of what happened before? Because the last guy who said, what? Maybe we should find out what he wants. Just because, right?
Because for three films, every time he pops up, he's not coming for us.
Right.
If we made a mistake or someone like,
and then we went after him and then now he's coming for us and that did not work out.
Yeah, right.
And anyway, but so you've got like Tommy Lee Jones in the hotel at the end.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, what would have been really Bourne is that once we get to him in the hotel room, right. Tommy Lee Jones goes long time to.
Yeah.
Just off.
Shoot him right in the face.
Like, that would have been Bourne.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have been like, oh, let's chat about it for a while. Oh, people are coming.
I like the idea that also that the story wants to put in, which is his psychological profile has always suggested that he could be reintroduced into the
CIA. And that's basically your two movies.
Right.
Is you've got him finding out about his dad and then this whole thing where we're trying to spin this angle of maybe we could bring him back in.
Yeah.
And it's like he can't decide which one
he's
going to do.
Neither of them take hold.
So it doesn't do either of them. Yeah.
You know, Matt Damon is still, even though he's not really present in a lot of the film. You know, it's interesting. You watch a 20-minute car scene and you see him for 60 seconds off and on, but really it's just a lot of cut action. Like he's actually, and I told you before we walked in, and I'll be damned if I couldn't get a little bit of it out of my head that somebody had criticized him for basically getting $1 million a line because he has basically like 25 lines in the whole film.
Right.
The moment the movie starts, I hear two sentences and I'm thinking I'm like, is that one line? Did he get $1 million for that? Or was that two? Because that was very easy. But he's still entertaining and engaging when he's on the screen, and mostly that's because I like Matt Damon. You know?
Tommy Lee Jones. You know, he's good at this character too.
He is
because
really good at this.
Even when there are large parts in the beginning where, you know, obviously that's in your head when you're watching the movie and you start watching him not say things.
Right.
Like you start watching it going, no shit, he's on screen, but he's not going to say anything.
Yeah.
But he actually does that really well. Right. And, you know, one of the Bourne things that's hilarious, kind of, because like I said, there's the mold that these movies just are now.
Right.
And, you know, somebody has to be driving a motorcycle up and down some stairs he has to stare at himself in a mirror. You know, that's just a thing that happens.
Looking for a memory
in his
eyelashes,
movies, right?
You know,
But, you know, when he is just kind of thinking about his life and he's, you know, whatever, he's just over there kind of
emoting
off to the side. Yeah. Having his emotions that he's good at
he
it
good.
Though. He really like actually delivers that very well. And there's a lot of what's fun about the movie and what actually does manage to be entertaining and work. It's just him being Bourne. It doesn't even matter what he's doing, right? It's just there's only so many times that you can, you know, meet somebody and there's a parade during the time or there's you know, it's like every movie he says he wants to meet somebody somewhere and then all of a sudden there's a protest or there's a rally or, you know, whatever and it all works out. We get on the train, we get off the train.
Yeah.
Ha ha, you couldn't find me even though you had like 50 snipers on the roof or whatever. But that's, you know, just part of the mold. And when he does it, like somehow you kind of believe it.
Yeah.
It's like even when you go back to the other movies And he does the same thing, and he right. like gets on the train, then he jumps off onto the boat, then he gets on the
right.
bridge and back up, and then he's I on the train, it. And you're like, but man, that was cool.
Yeah,
like
cool. I'll give it to
like
him.
You can't explain I, it to anyone because like, it sounds too stupid.
Yeah,
right? But it sorry. But it works, right?
I like when he did it in this film. You know, he's constantly doing that, right? They're constantly recycling. Like, he's just the master of knowing when rush hour is.
Right.
You know, it's not always
right.
5 o'clock. But I loved it was disposable in any other kind of way, except it's just a nice throwback to see him take a couple seconds, go in, put a couple fancy spy clamps on wires.
Right.
And then he calls a huge fire alarm. Like,
right,
I love
right,
that because
right.
I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to see. Even to the ridiculousness of, you know, he's walking around, and of course the near climax of the film takes place in Las Vegas, where a Facebook or Google kind of guy is there, and that's the other ball they're trying to juggle,
right,
which is
right.
the human privacy versus public security kind of thing. I love how there just happens to be, like, you know, Spy Fest, and he's just
right.
walking around. He goes, "Oh,
right.
I need new goggles. I need
right.
new tracking things," and he's just taking them off the counters. And I'm like, at least he didn't have some, like, you know, person show up and be like, "I stole these from MI6. You can have them for an hour."
Right.
Like, I kind of giggled at that because I'm like, pushing the elasticity of what I'm going to let you do before
right,
I
right.
think this is a comedy. You know, it was weirdly predictable before I realized, like what you said, you know, because you said you saw Ultimatum after this. You
right.
know, I just felt like if you overlay them as, you know, and this is dating things, but as old school Transparencies, you know, on the overhead projector, they're not exactly the same, but damn, there's a lot of bold lines that
but,
look just exactly
but they,
the same.
But they all do.
They I, you know, I got to watch
all,
the second
all
one
the,
again,
but, all the first three do too. And like
yeah.
I said, they just all have those parts. He has to go
yeah.
on stairs on a motorcycle.
Yeah,
it's just built into the thing.
Yeah.
They have to have some elaborate scheme where he says, "Meet me here." They find out that he told you to meet him there,
right?
And yet somehow he orchestrates the
he's
whole
like
thing.
Five steps ahead.
Where
yeah.
It doesn't matter how many people you send out. And the thing is that nothing is going to ever top if they keep making these movies. And
yeah.
who knows?
Who knows?
Nothing's ever going to top that one where he goes, "No, because if you were in your office, we'd be having
right.
this conversation face to face."
Yeah, that was great.
Nothing's ever going to beat
that.
Right. Or the you know. Getting out of it, like
right.
why tell him,
right?
Like why even
bored.
Say that? Because you could have just left.
I can do whatever
right?
I want, but
right.
I want a challenge today. You know, between Tommy Lee Jones, who I wish I could remember exactly what he only did, like two or three scenes in the control room when they were looking at all the monitors. But there's one where he delivers a line so blandly. I know he just wants to go to lunch.
Right.
You know, he just
right.
looks over and then he all but looks at the camera and is like, you know, come on.
Right.
Let's just go
next.
Already.
Yeah.
I, you know, I'm not going to blame him for this because we see an awful lot of artists who are, you know, actors who are lately taking big paychecks to show up in real weird choices. Maybe he wanted to. He doesn't do anything to push that character off the
right.
paper.
Right.
And I'll be damned, not that I knew that this might be the last born. I was a little surprised, and I was holding out for, you know, when they get to Las Vegas, excuse me, when they get to Las Vegas, I'm at like a 5. I'm so dialed down.
Right.
And I'm thinking the only thing that can really probably save this is Joan Allen. If she pops
right.
up
if she,
as
if she shows
Landy,
up again,
you know,
yeah.
and I'm like, why is she not? Maybe she was too busy.
Yeah.
And she didn't. She's the only one that didn't like pop up again. And I kind of thought that would have been an interesting thing to get the band back together.
Right.
You know,
right.
And in a way, I kind of like that. She wasn't
I liked the fact because, you know, something has to start us down the road. Right.
Yeah.
And I liked the fact that her coming back, not Landy, but
Julia
Stiles. Julia Stiles.
Right. Yeah.
I like that it's basically her idea.
Right.
That,
yeah.
that
I like
she
that too.
She did it and she got him back into it. Because at the, you know, an ultimatum, like she's in hiding. I
right.
mean, she burns herself by helping him.
Yeah.
And so she is just off on the run. Who knows what she's doing.
Right.
So I actually did
yeah,
like
did
the
like
fact it. That he kind of, he didn't actually get wrapped up into
right.
anything accidentally.
She did.
Like in the other
yeah.
movies, you know, he gets framed for
right.
something
right.
or,
yeah.
you know, whatever it is. And he comes back and he's like, "Will you stop looking for me?"
Yeah.
Right. And in this one, it's not. They at least
he was done. Like he's hiding
they,
out.
They
panning.
At least
yeah.
Yeah, he had a pretty sad life, really.
Yeah, right.
I mean, as far as we know, he's not doing anything interesting. Right.
Yeah,
I
but
guess,
that's a good point.
Wife,
she brings
but,
him into the story. He's not in, he's but, not interested to go after anybody.
No, and if it wasn't for the fact that, you know, they see him,
right,
and they're like, "What?" and you know, whatever. I mean, but I thought that was at least a different, interesting tack to take with how are we going to start the ball rolling again,
right?
And then it's just like, but then we have to jump back into the mold because then it's just like, I've seen Jason Bourne. We must kill him.
Right. Right.
And
anytime.
Just,
yeah.
And it's just like, oh, he's back. So we know that we have to kill him.
And it's funny because you're right. They have such a short memory, but that's the mold itself too. You know, again, he's popped up a few times in the first film. I get it. He pops up, you know, he's a rogue agent or he's doubled, you know, to the other side. We got to take this guy down.
Right.
But then later, upon subsequent missions and things and events, he actually shows that he's just, I'm not going to work for you anymore. Leave me alone. I'll leave you alone.
Right.
Nah, we always think he's the bat. Like, you'd think somebody in that office would know, maybe we should look at this movie, you know?
Right.
But again, there was no real story there, and it wasn't interesting enough for me to just see everybody show up. And like you said, again, if this had been a 90-minute Jason Bourne, I could have slid away with a little bit more of a better feeling about it. I wasn't.
If they would have just picked more of what they were doing, because, you know, like we already said, they got their two things that they're doing. Then plus you want to throw in the, you know, Facebook clone thing on top of it, so that we have this whole
some social
we're spying on everyone and giving all the information to the CIA and all that, because then we can have like a timely topic kind of to be involved. And then we can have the whole, you know, the CIA then pressuring the guy and, you know, forcing him to play ball or whatever, just so that we can talk about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, if they would have just narrowed their focus a little bit, they could have taken some part of one of those stories out, or at least not paid much attention to it or whatever, because we also have this whole thing with Alicia Vikander and Tommy Lee Jones, like, you know, trading barbs back and forth about, you know, she wants his job or whatever. She's a little odd in the movie too, because she's
kind of sociopathic.
She really is. She's kind of like hard to peg. And then, you know, we have this good idea for the end,
right?
Like the very, very end. Right. We have this idea for that. So it's like, we have to build all this stuff in before so that we can get to that.
Right.
And you're like, I mean, yeah, that's like a good part.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very Bourne.
It is. It's exceptionally Bourne.
For him to like just leave that there and whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the expense of what? I have to watch like 20 minutes worth of this movie just of her, you know, kind of being. It's weird because she's like, it's like she's being a bitch, but she's being a bitch to like the even worse people.
Right.
So is that still count? You know, it's weird. It's so much, you know, there's like a lot of fluff that could be trimmed. Yeah. And in the other movies, you know, the other thing about it, just in the straight comparison, I guess, of the first three to this one, you know, the other ones, you just always feel like you're on the run.
Yeah.
And this one, there's a lot of it that I felt like I was just sitting there.
Yeah.
Until you get to the end.
Not to try to be clever. I actually kind of felt like we were running in circles. You know, it's just like there was a certain aspect to the other films that certainly, though not new or, you know, with much, you know, I don't know, inspiration, it certainly felt more inspired than this one. This one just felt like, you know, this is what these films do, so let's do it. And I didn't expect Greengrass to do that.
In a lot of ways.
For me, like when I started to say in the beginning before I sidetracked myself, if I'm disappointed with the movie, it's not because I had high expectations going in, though we had talked about for weeks being pretty curious about it. I was more curious as to why they would all come back, all the players. I was disappointed because once you got all the players there and this is what I got, I'm like, really? That was the best that you brought me back for and that we got you guys to do this again? Like, there's got to be a different story there.
Yeah.
So I'm disappointed only because of what I got in the end.
It feels like maybe the story got changed around
a little bit. Yeah.
More
it feels like somebody,
after the fact.
I was just going to say, in some regards, if it hadn't been, you know, Paul Greengrass, who had success with other films, but also he knew how to do the Bourne movies, right? it just felt like somebody got mad and some studio came in and finished the film for him.
Right.
You know, and by finished, I mean, redid the whole thing.
And it's also kind of, there's a weird comparison here to, you know, James Bond movies.
Yeah.
Where James Bond movies, right, have been around forever, and you're just kind of compelled to make another one.
Right.
There just has to be another Bond movie, and they're going to keep going. Yeah. They're going to keep making money. And every once in a while, you're going to get one, and you're going to go, I mean,
it was okay.
It was a Bond movie, and it was fun and whatever, but it wasn't, you know, anything spectacular or whatever.
Right.
It was just a pretty good film, maybe. Yeah. And it's like, somebody said, it doesn't have to be that good. It's like Bond movies, right?
Right.
It just has to be like pretty good
and
be about Bourne, and that's good enough.
That's good enough.
Do that. And and we wanted to make sure we had our product placement
in the right place.
And Bourne could like hit whatever. There's a really, you can push product placement like really too far, because they say what kind of car he's driving like several times.
Yeah.
And then he pushes some button that's some magical feature that the Dodge has now that I don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
But it's like in the contract that you have to show him pushing that button, and it has to mean something. Like he drives backwards and he hits this button and they like show it so oddly. Like it just stands out so weird. And then he pushes it again and then he's going for it. I don't know what the hell that's supposed to be, because they at least don't say it.
Right. Right. It's just
like
he's
going to engage now the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Right. and it's this bright blue button, whatever, who knows what it is, but it stands out so oddly that it makes you wonder about the movie. Like, we had enough people who were going to give us enough product placement money
anyway. Right.
That we were like, we can't lose now. So
the two other things I feel like worth saying, one's very easy, and then the other is maybe just for me. But, man, I was really glad. It answers itself very quickly. As soon as you realize his dad is a subplot, and then you get to a point where he's learning more about his dad, it becomes quite obvious that his dad gets hurt in an explosion and dies, and this is why he enlists. This is actually in the trailer, so this is not spoilerific. Man, I'm so glad his dad didn't come back at the end.
Oh God, yeah.
I thought for sure he was gone. I genuinely could,
especially because the weird thing about how they're progressing now too,
is
that every next person who, because obviously we're killing them off, so we have to replace them with somebody, right?
Yeah.
Every next person who's like still involved in the chain or whatever somehow is involved in the whole thing. It's like we still didn't kill all the people who were the bad guys, because there's somebody else who is the next level. And that's happened in every movie too.
Yeah.
You just keep going back and back and this chain. And in like Ultimatum, we have like the doctor who, he finally gets to the facility and we see the doctor, but he doesn't kill him.
Right.
He just takes off. And then there's the do you even know why you're supposed to kill me? Like at the very end, whatever nonsense. Right. And actually the bad guys just get arrested. He doesn't even off them.
Yeah.
But then now it's years later, a lot of years later.
Yeah.
Right. And we go back again, and now there's the big boss guy, but then there's the other big boss guy and whatever. And it's like, they're all still kind of involved and they all still want to get rid of him because he knows whatever else he knows. And it still hurt us. And I mean, it's just like forever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everyone actually is that were his friends, and we have to replace somebody else, and it just keeps going. So.
There was, I don't know if it bothered you as much, and maybe I'm real hypersensitive to this since I just mentioned it in Star Trek too. I wasn't a big fan of the camera work. You know, there's a lot of jittery palsy cam going on where no one ever used a tripod if doing action scenes before. And a lot of unnecessary zooming, double zooms, zoom in, zoom out. Like there was just, I don't care if you have a director of photography and you've got a director who's saying, this is how I want the scene. And even in edits and post, like if you're wanting to look at a certain way, that's great. But the moment your decisions distract me and pull me out of the story,
right.
I think you're doing a bad job. See, you're no longer an auteur. You're no longer like art house directing. You're actually distracting. And for me, I got used to it, but damn, it took a while right. to get used to that. I don't know if you noticed that at all, but
yeah. And it's weird because once again, all we're doing is completely bagging on this movie, and we've only got about 10 more minutes
I
left.
I gave it like a 4.
But,
I'm okay with that. But.
Yeah. But once again, I rated it like 7.
You actually rated it pretty high.
And I've only ever said bad things about it, except that I said that it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But
well, it is kind
of
fun, but.
I did get a lot of that. But for me, I kind of got both in the camera work on the movie anyway. Because if you go back to like the second movie and even the first, but I think it's even better in the second, there's awesome camera work in that movie.
Very much.
And there is very meaningful camera work in that movie where you can watch what the camera's doing and you can get it.
Yeah.
It's like there are certain parts where the camera doesn't stop. There's one of the best parts in the whole franchise in the second movie where the camera doesn't stop for a really long time, even though we cut to different parts and everything.
Yeah.
But when we're looking at anything, the camera's always panning.
Really? Yeah.
The camera's always moving.
I don't remember.
And we'll cut to something and the camera's still always moving. And there's about maybe like 5 minutes of this.
Yeah.
And then he gets into that bathroom and then he looks at himself in the mirror and the camera stops and just looks at
him.
That's
cool.
And it's like very effective.
That's purposeful.
Okay.
I get that.
Doing it, right?
Yeah.
And in this movie, I kind of got both.
Yeah.
There were parts of it where I thought there was really good camera work in the movie, but then there were other parts where I felt like it was somehow Paul Greengrass didn't really understand what he was doing in the first movies, but was also trying to copy it. You know, it was like
I agree. I don't mean the whole movie either.
It was like he watched the second one and went, I don't really remember why I was doing that, but I guess move the camera around a lot. So I'll do that.
In a weird way, if I'm remembering this right, and I've tried to forget it as best as I can, but it reminds me of Taken 3, where I remember watching that and being like, you know, you don't have anything to do, so you're moving the camera like you got a fit. And
that movie too, it's like they bought a new thing.
Yeah.
It's like they got a new toy that holds the camera and like, look, now the camera can do this.
Dude,
I can do this like 360 spin
with it.
Well,
you know
then do that like 10 times.
You know as well as I do that everyone got all giddy in the industry when they figured out Steadicam. And now some genius was like, I got shaky cam.
Right.
Like, take it off the Steadicam.
Steadicam, screw
gritty.
That. Right.
You know, and I'm thinking.
Yeah, and you know what happened?
It doesn't work. If you want to do it for fight scenes. I get it. That's a kinetic action that's facilitating the narrative in a way because I'm a part. Like, I get that. I can argue that even intellectually, even if I don't like it. But don't do it when you're walking through the plaza and I'm thinking, am I having a seizure? Am I having too much?
But you know what happened is this is my theory.
Bugged
anyway.
Me.
You know what happened is a couple of people made movies, like small budget things, where they shot the whole thing on their phone.
Right.
And so there's no steady cam.
Right.
We're constantly
jittery
because we shot it on our phone. And so that happened.
Right.
Right? And there's the one fight scene in the Lord of the Rings where in the first Lord of the Rings, there's that one fight scene where you can't tell what's happening.
Oh, right. I know exactly what you mean now.
It cuts and moves and I think that's an axe moving and you can't tell anything that's happening.
Look,
and people loved that happened.
Yeah.
And after that, after like everyone those two things, everyone's like, you know, what's really good is if you can't really kind of see what it is.
I'm going
to
tell
like, we're
going
to whip around really fast.
We're getting close to the end. So I'll get out of here with this idea of a thought, at least unless we have more, which this is why we're the best podcast in the world. Okay. We just tied in, you know, Jason Bourne, you brought up Lord of the Rings, and I'm about to bring up Tangerine because those guys shot that movie on an iPhone 5.
Right,
and it wasn't nearly the palsy that this
one
had.
No, it wasn't. They held it pretty still.
So I'm telling you, and I know they didn't use Steadicam things, but I'm just saying, like, don't, it's such a cheap gag. It's like lens flares here or Blair Witch there. Like, just make a movie and don't push me out of it.
Right.
Because I'm really there to try to be there for your film.
Right.
Don't like,
and,
give
and
me
you
the
know
Heisman
you know
when
the
I'm
thing
doing,
is
so.
When you see movies like this and it becomes distracting, right?
Yeah.
All the stuff that they do becomes distracting. all of the things that we hate,
yeah,
because people do it wrong, they're all things that somebody did well.
Right.
That somebody did it and went, yeah, I have a reason that I'm doing this. I think it will make X happen.
Right.
And maybe X didn't actually happen. Maybe it doesn't work the way that you think it was did,
but
I'm still okay with that too, because I can tell, you can tell by watching the movie that there's the theory behind it. Right.
Yeah.
But when it's like the 78th lens flare, right. There's no theory behind that lens flare. There's just, I can spin the camera. I have like, I have a new toy on my camera that I can zoom and pan and make it go up above your head at the same time.
Man, it's annoying.
And there is like a lot of that. But what's also weird is I think it's in the first movie, they have like kind of a car chase. That's also
it's a great one.
That's also a thing in the movies.
Yeah.
Right. Is that they have to have a car chase where at the end, they basically both just destroy their cars.
Right.
Only Jason Bourne climbs out first and looks at the other guy in the car and he's like, you know, and he just leaves him there or whatever.
Yeah.
That's like their thing too. But in the first one, there is like a car chase kind of where you can't tell what's happening a lot of that either, because cars fly by. Well, you're like,
noises and
is he still
engines.
In front?
Right.
I don't even know what's happening. And except that it's awesome.
It is awesome.
In that one.
That's
right?
The one where they're leaving the bank and he's convinced at her and he's like, is there anything wrong with your car?
Right.
When's the last time you had an oil change? So he's doing a mental ability list of how hard am I going to be able to push
right.
this?
Right, and he looks at the map for 5 seconds,
he's
and
like,
he's memorized it.
I love it.
And then he just takes off. And then they have that great part where they pull into the thing.
Yeah, right.
And they just sit there.
You know,
and they even do that in this movie because that's also, like I said, it's just all this stuff that has to happen. He has to look at a map and be able to memorize it in a way that doesn't make sense, right? Like, and in this one, it, you know, he's walking along and then he looks at like this train schedule for like a second.
Yep.
And he just has memorized
Got
the
it.
Entire train schedule to the extent that he can like run up the thing and plan out what he was doing before. And there's like the clock is ticking in his head in the background.
Yeah.
And you know, we have to have that too.
Right.
But so we are out of time, but since I did get a bit seven, you know, I did have like a lot of fun though.
Yeah.
It still was kind of born happening at me and he was still really good at it. And when the movie would just stick with one thing, it did a lot of stuff that was pretty good. And especially the beginning, like the first probably 25 minutes, maybe even 30 minutes, I was really like going, this is going to be really good. And then it just kept adding other layers. Like it was like, you know, if this is good, then if we put some more in, that's better. And then it just kept having parts of the story.
Yeah.
And it was, it was way too interested for me in Alicia Vikander's character.
Yeah.
And I think that was like a real failing of the movie, of being able to see what you have and what you're doing, because it was like, well, it was really good when we had this other woman CIA agent on kind of on his side, but not really, but you know, whatever. And then it was like, let's make up another one and have her sort of do the same thing, only whatever, we'll put a different spin on her. And it just, they were so invested in trying to sell me on that.
There's
that it
certain,
took away from Bourne.
There's definitely a theme in every Bourne film. I can't remember the Renner film enough to remember this, but I think it's true that the women are the only ones who see past, you know, Unga Bunga, me shoot first.
Right.
Even Joan Allen, who's like a high up, you know, intelligence officer.
Right.
She's like, I'm actually putting this together in a way you're not. I see that this is not the threat.
Right.
You know? So kudos for that.
Right, I guess.
You know,
I don't know. Just
it had too
much going on, but I still had a lot of fun.
It had fun moments for me.
It was probably just my last 4 weeks of horrible movies coloring
it's
me.
It's like everything we said. It just could have been a little less. But I don't know that I would suggest anybody go see it in the theater. I think people should see it. You know,
yeah,
if they like the genre or the film. You know, maybe get it at home, you know, at some point, but I don't think it's a theater one for me, but it just reminds me, you know, looking ahead. I mean, you know, obviously you have more to say about that. That's cool. But next week is Suicide Squad, and we're both really curious and a little nervous about that. And I feel like that's kind of the same thing. Like it might be really, really fun and really great, or it could have all the same problems that films that have been having problems lately and just make it really long.
It could easily have too many things that it wants to talk about with all the characters, try to bring everything together. And
but I guess that's what we're doing next, right?
Anyway, yeah, that'll be next week. Yeah. And, you know, we should really wrap up here. I think we beat that horse.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's too bad.
Yeah. You know, I still kind of like it.
Cool,
I still had fun, even though it was like, I was willing to kind of let some of the things go until you get to the end, and then it's garbage. I hated it.
You're right, though. And it's funny.
Except for the very, very, very end. That was okay.
Good. Right. But you're right. That marker, once that Las Vegas stuff happens, it's really just like ho-hum, humdrum.
It's weirdly goofy, especially when it's a car chase and you're like, I'm bored of this car chase.
Right.
That's an odd feeling when you're throwing that at me and you can't keep me invested.
Yeah, you're real jaded. Yeah.
Anyway, all right, we're out of here. And like you said, next week we'll be back with Suicide Squad. Thanks for tuning in, and please share on iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us and review us on iTunes, and otherwise trick your friends into listening to us. Thanks.
Bye.